If you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. We'll look at one verse tonight, and I'll try to be brief, and I'll just give you this tonight. I'm going to give you an introduction tonight of something we want to look at. We're going to be addressing over the next few Wednesday nights, probably, if the Lord continues to unction us that way. It'll help our hearts and help us to grow close to Him and do that Brother Rex was talking about a minute ago. Amen. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. And the Bible says, "The fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." The fruit of the righteousness of a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I want to preach tonight for just a little while. I've got to help us on this thought, a great work. A great work. Now this is introduction to something I want to look at for the next little bit. Do you realize tonight that we've got a great work to do? And that work is in the Christ Jesus, amen? In that work that we do for the Lord God of glory. He's the one that helps us. He's the one that helps us to accomplish this thing. And it's a work that can be completed through me and you if we just become vessels, amen? Realize tonight that our life, our body, the service to Christ, is just a conduit through which He works. Amen. He takes us and uses us to filter out the junk and give the good, solid stuff and truth to those that we come in contact with. Amen. And we can see God working and doing that. And it's just the work that we have to do. And God's already finished His work. Amen. The work of God is complete. Amen. God's finished a work already. It's complete. It was God's work that He finished, and He's given us part of something that we can do to be partakers in the work. Amen. We ought to count it as a privilege and honor to be part of God's big plan. Amen. We ought to count it as a privilege to be part of this. Hey, sometimes we look down and say, well, gosh, you know the things we've got to do. Hey, we're privileged to be able to work for the cause of Christ, to do those things that will please Him. See, God's work is already completed. Amen. He completed a work. When he began to create and He began to make me and you, amen? He created a mighty work. And all He had to do is, by the Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3, has said to make a whole world, all He had to do was speak. Amen. And the world was created. Proverbs 11 and 3, or Hebrews 11 and 3, the Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, what is the Word of God? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Who done the framing, praise God? It's the Lord. Amen. He framed it up, praise God. And I would get, hey, as an introduction, now we can just realize the framework. That there's a great work for us to do, amen, as part of the framework. If we come inside that framework, not only did God make a world, but Isaiah chapter 53:10, the Bible says that He made provisions to save a world. Amen. It meant not only speaking the world existed, but it meant crucifying His only begotten Son, hanging Him on a cross, amen, and allowing Him to die for the sins of the world. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, He said, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him." Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. "He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities." Amen. So Jesus finished the work, praise God, on Calvary, when God allowed His Son, praise God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, this thing was spoken into existence, allowed us to come along, and praise God, and when God seen that we needed a Savior in this great big work that we have to do, God crucified His only begotten Son so that we could be partakers in the work. Amen. So He began to allow us to be part of this great work. And He requires that. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17. Now Ezekiel's talking here, and he's talking about a certain man. That man tonight could be me or you. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17, he says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood, now listen to this, will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, you know God won't let you continue in sin. He'll put that stumbling block in front of you. He'll do things to get your attention, amen, to get you to refocus and redirect. He'll get you to realize that path that you're on don't need to be the path that you're on. But he said, he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness of which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. Amen. So the Bible says here in Proverbs 11, he said that the fruit of this, the fruit of righteousness is a winning soul. He said the soul winner, the one that wins souls, is wise. Amen. So if we go out and we tell somebody about Jesus and they get saved, praise God, God says when we do that, it's a wise thing to do. Because it's winning that soul. It's keeping them from being a castaway. It means that we've got, what does it mean? It means that we've got a work to do. Our work. See, God has completed His work, but we have a work that we've got to do. We've got to step up and begin to do our part. The work that we do day by day. Amen. In our lives, witnessing for Lord Jesus Christ. Telling somebody about Jesus. Amen. We ought to pray. Are you hearing me? We ought to pray every morning when we get ready to go out of the house and, Lord, please help me be a witness to somebody today. Amen. Lord, put somebody in my path that I can tell about Jesus. And then have an unction and a Holy Ghost boldness, praise God, that when He puts them in your path, you'll tell about Jesus. Amen. That you can be that good witness for Christ, because you may save that soul from hell. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't want to see nobody die and go to hell. Now, I don't desire that if I had an enemy, I wouldn't desire that for my worst enemy. To be burning in hell throughout eternity because of the iniquity they're living in. So what does the proverb here tell us about a Christian life? He said, he's telling us that the fruit of a Christian life is to produce another Christian. Amen. What we do in our life is to produce someone else that'll love the Lord Jesus Christ, that'll come alongside. How do we do that? By being a witness for Christ. Amen. To be a witness to Lord Jesus Christ. That's that spontaneous, natural thing, expression that comes out of us, praise God, that inward possession. That inward part comes out of us, and we can't help it. If we ever get right with the Lord, praise God, it'll come out on us on purpose. Amen. We'll begin to spout off, praise God, and tell people when they're saying, you know what, I don't know what I'm going to do. Say, ooh, let me tell you what to do. Amen. Let me tell you about a Savior. Let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ who can save you and He'll help you. Amen. And things begin to look different to those people. Anybody that gets in, praise God, and gets saved. We know it's not a bed of roses, amen. But could be, because a bed of roses even got thorns. Amen. But if we come alongside the Lord comes alongside us, and we begin to be partakers in this. Amen. At that witness that we need to be. This is an inclusive thing. Amen. This includes everyone. Every born-again believer is called to be a witness for Christ. It's just not Brother Rex or Brother Bill or Brother Charles, but it's every one of us is called to be a witness for Christ. Hey, listen, you young people, praise God, you're called to be a witness for Christ. Tell somebody about Jesus, amen. Come alongside them and say, you know what? I love you. And Jesus does too. I pray God, hey, Lord, you ever get a friend in Jesus, you have a friend indeed. These other people that you run around with tries to dissuade you, tries to drag you out, they're not friends. They're acquaintances. And acquaintances is the kind of people that'll end up with you over in the Buncombe County Jail. Yeah. Amen? But if you get a friend in Jesus, praise God, you begin to get they begin to get born again, praise the Lord, they'll be friends indeed. Friends that you can travel the highway with, praise God. But we've got to realize today in this work that we do, in this inclusiveness that we have, that we're not in this alone. Amen. We've got all the, you don't realize today that we have all the power of deity on our side. Amen. Hey, we've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that's wanting to work with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said all we got to do is just come along and allow Him. See, the thing that He has is Christ, His death, burial, and His resurrection. And He wants us to come alongside and help us in that. Paul and his theme to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said the love of Christ constraineth us. Amen. You remember the scripture? Of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. He says, for whether we be beside ourselves. Now go back up 13 because this is good. Paul says, whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. He said, hey, whether we're being crazy for Jesus, praise God, or we're sincerely teaching in the Word, amen, being calm about it, praise God, he said, it's still for you. Amen. Whether we're up here preaching or whether we're teaching, praise God, hey, it's still for you. It's for you. It's for your good. He said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. He said, it's got us holding. He said, it's bound us up, and that's what's holding us together. See, I got to thinking on this the other day, and boy, I tell you, I got a blessing. Because He tells me that the framework of this whole universe, Brother Bill, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was sitting in my study and I was meditating on that. And Brother Jeff, I got to looking over there and there was a picture on the shelf. And I got to thinking about my Lord. I said, He's the framework of this whole world. And I got to think, praise be to God. He's that frame, Lord. Can you imagine our Lord? He's like a picture frame. Amen. And we said, we're framed up in Christ. Christ is the frame. I wish I thought brought me a picture. Amen. Christ is the framework. And if we'll let Him, He'll hold us in. And He'll let us get in, praise God, in His framework. And He'll begin to do in us and for us what we can't do. And He'll help us to be what we can't be inside His framework. Amen. Whoopee, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hey, He said He's framed it up. Praise God, He's got it nice. And hey, He's put it in a frame for us. And all we got to do is get in there with Him, praise God, and go on for the glory of God. Amen. That's all right. Glory. He said, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. But now notice verse 16. This is the part that's missing in our lives. As we try to become part of this framework, as we try to get in the picture, amen? You know, we got some things now that we can do. Miss Allison, she can take pictures all over this country, and she can take one here and one there, and the next thing you know, she'll send it to you, and all them people that was here and there and yonder, she can put them every one in the same picture. Amen? Praise the Lord! See, that's what God's wanting to do. He's wanting to get one here, He's wanting to get one there, and He's wanting to get us all in the same picture. Amen? That's what He's wanting to do. Praise God. She's good at good work. Praise the Lord. If she could just carry the gospel everywhere she go and do that, praise God, for the glory of God. Amen. She's right on target. Amen. That's good. Praise the Lord. But now He said there's a part of this missing. He said, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. He said, there's been a spiritual change that takes place. And He said, the part that's missing is this spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's not just the head knowledge, but it's the heart knowledge, knowing Him, praise God. He's not a person walking around here now, but He's Spirit and He's truth, praise God. And He speaks to our heart and He encourages us and He gives us what we need, praise God, to be in the picture. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we can be part of the picture that God's painting. Well, God paints with some broad strokes, doesn't He? He has to. He painted me in the picture. Amen. He's got to have a sense of humor. Amen. He sure has. But the thing that's missing in our life is that spiritual relationship. That change that takes place. Amen. Going from here and now to there. And it's not just something I've told you and told you. Not just something we do after we're dead. We do it now. While we're here. While we're alive. Amen. That part, it's part of that renovation process I talked about this morning. He goes on and said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But now he said, not only are we missing part of our spiritual relationship, but he said we're also missing the part of our service to God. Look at verse 18. He said, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. That means he's, glory to God, He's recommissioned us. Amen. He's taken us out of the world and He's put us in the picture. Hey, you're going to get this tonight, praise the Lord. But notice what He says. He goes on and says, and hath given to us, now listen to this, and hath given to us, me and you, He said, given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So He said, what He's done, Brother Bill, He said, God Almighty has put you in the picture and He's given us the service or the duty, the job, the ministry, praise God, of restoration other people and putting them in the picture. Amen? Hey, it's getting them out of the world, praise God, and letting God come over here and repaint them, remake them, glory to God, something that's precious in the sight of God, that's fit to be in the picture. Amen? Now, if Miss A takes a picture, and that picture ain't just what she thinks it ought to be, she'll crop them out of the picture. Amen? That's amazing stuff to me. I mean, you put somebody in there that ain't ever even been there. Ain't that's just something. But God says, I want people that's never been there to be in there. And He said, what He's done, said He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, the service of restoration, praise God. So once that we've been rejuvenated, we've been remodeled ourselves. See, a lot of times we try to go out and fix somebody else's temple up. Amen? When our own temple's full of defilement. But once we get our own temple situated, and we get to be part of the picture. Amen? Once we get to be part of the picture, praise God, we can go out and tell somebody else, say, hey, let me paint you a picture. Come on, we want you to be part of the picture. Amen. It's framed by Jesus. You'll like it. Amen. A lot of smiling faces, a lot of happy people, but just a lot of rejoicing taking place in the framework of Christ. But He said, this is where we're at. He said, we got to have this service of restoration. A place where God will bring us to if we'll let Him. Amen? And we're all part of this restoration process. I know some men are called to preach. Some men are called to teach. Some women are called, or they're called to give life. They're called to have power in the home. They're called to teach a redeeming gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Everybody's got their own work. And we've got to be part of that work. And that's where we come alongside one another and we realize the framework that we're in and we say, you know what? We begin to work inside the framework. Amen. Now this is all right. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. He tells us how to work together for that. So that we can do what Proverbs chapter 11 says, so that we can win a soul. Because he that win a soul, Brother Jeff, is wise. Amen. Hey, I don't know about you. I don't want to finish this journey and be counted as a dummy. Amen? I won't show up at the gates, that holy place, Lord, a place prepared. And I want God to say, well, praise the Lord, you use some good sense. Amen. So he goes on to Titus chapter 2, and he says, you know what? He said, but speak thou the things which could become sound doctrine. Now that's incorrupt instruction. He said that the aged men be sober. Amen. That means be vigilant, that they be grave, which is honest, and to be temperate. So he begins to give some instructions inside the framework. Amen. He said that it become a sound doctrine. Anything that's sound doctrine is inside the framework of Christ. If it gets outside the framework of Christ, it's not sound no more. It's corrupt. Amen? But he said there's some sound stuff. He said the aged men be vigilant, that they be grave or honest, that they be temperate. That means you use a little bit of self-control. Lord, help us in the day we live to have some self-control. And he goes on, he says that they be sound in the faith. Amen? That's incorrupt. It's incorruption in our persuasion. Amen? If we're going to persuade people, praise God, we better persuade them right. Because we don't want to persuade nobody wrong. He said, and be in charity, that's love in action. And then, here you go, men, this is our part, and in patience. Amen? That means while we're working with people inside the framework of Christ, that we need to be patient while we do it. You know, we tell people about Jesus. We say, Lord, I want you to save them and save them now. Amen? It may not be we know he wants to save them, but it may just not, that he ain't dealt with them enough where they'll get in. And we got to have patience to wait on the Lord. All we do is just messenger the Lord. We're just servants doing a service for God. See, remember what I told you? We're working with deity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they work with us, praise God, to the saving of souls. So he said these men need to be patient. But then he said these women, the aged women, those older ladies, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior. And that behavior, that's your demeanor. That's how people see you. That's how people take you as you approach them. Said, be in behavior as becometh holiness. That's a reverence. Not false accusers. Well, that'd be slanderers, wouldn't it? He said, not given to much wine. Amen. In other words, he says, don't be a bond servant to anything. Amen? And he said, teachers of good things. In other words, that's right. Hey, I don't know a mother here that wants to teach her children stuff that's wrong. We want to instruct our children in what's right. Amen? And where do you get that? Inside the framework. That's that sound doctrine. That's that good advice. He said, to be discreet. He said go back up verse 4, that they may teach the young women, amen, to be sober and to love their husbands. I mean, that's show that affection. Amen. Have you ever watched older couples and you see them showing each other affection even after all these years? Well, what a blessing that is. Amen. Just because you get past 50 don't mean you can't show a little affection. Amen? Just because you get past 30, fellas, don't mean that you can't show a little bit of affection. Women, hey, just because you get past 30 don't mean you can't show a little of affection. Amen? That same person that you married, amen, he ain't changed, she ain't changed. You say, well, preacher, they've got older. Well, hey, you have too. Amen? You and this together, inside the framework, praise God. But he said if they show their husbands, they love their husband and love their children. Now that's that maternal love that you have inside the framework. There's a lot of women today that don't have, you say, well, preacher, that's a given. There's a lot of women they don't have no maternal love. Amen? People that have cast away their children, throw them away so that they can do their own thing. They ain't got no maternal love. Amen? But they learn, that's a learned thing. He said to be discreet. That's have self-control in your life. Amen? To be obedient to our own husband. That's to submit to. Now let me just go back. I got in trouble with this in a while back. Amen. When I said that you women ought to submit to your wife, and you ought to do because you are better at multitasking than us. And I got in trouble over this. Because I let you, the Amos couple late, so I went, you tell us we got to do everything, and praise God. That the men just go to work and they come home and they do what they want to do. That's wrong. Now let me just say this in defense, ladies. Praise God, they step up and do be submitted to you, and they do their part at the house, and they do their part wherever, praise God. It's up to us to come alongside them, praise God, and do our part. Amen? Amen. We're inside the framework. We become one with them. So we got to step up. I know you guys have said, preacher, you're meddling now. Amen. But I tell you what, if your wife's submitting to you, if your wife's a reverend and she's trying to do what she's supposed to do, praise God, we better come alongside them, praise God, and help them along the way. I'm talking about helping them with the children, helping them with the house. Just because you're a man don't mean you can't pick up after yourself. Amen. 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 Oh me. Oh, me. Amen. Hey, just because we're men don't mean we can't pick up, straighten up a little. Amen. We're not called to be bums. Amen. If your wife, praise God, is submitting to you, she's doing her part, praise God, she's loving you, she's, yeah, praise God, it's our responsibility to come alongside. Maybe the reason she's not doing what she should, it's because we don't come alongside her. Amen. Hey, the Bible says our wives is what we make them to be. We're supposed to be the head of the household. I mean, spiritual leaders. Amen. It's not our job just to go out into the highways, hedges, and make the money. It's our job to bring it to the house, praise God, and to help her with whatever's necessary. Amen. To make her life, praise God, where she's not trying to do it all. So there, ladies, I helped you. Amen. You do your part, and fellas, let's step up and do ours. And it'll make a house, it'll take a house and make it a home. Where God Almighty is cherished and He's magnified. He's uplifted. But He said these are things we got to do inside the framework. I think we've messed up inside the framework. That's why we're not seeing souls saved. Amen? But He said to be discreet, to be chaste, that's pure. Be keepers at home. Amen? And that means be diligent and keep housekeeper, good housekeepers. He said obedient to their own husbands. Submissive, that the word of God be not blasphemed, or that the God's word won't be spoken evil of, because you're inside the framework. Amen. Does that make sense? When we start doing our part, it's just like being a child of God. It takes every one of us doing our part. Amen. In order to win souls, when we begin to do our part, then God begins to bless us and He begins to help us in our part. For the glory of God. So we see God begin to move. It's every born-again believer's responsibility to win souls. Amen? Where every one of us is called to be a witness for Christ without excuse. Amen? So He says here that not only do we have a work to do, but it's all inclusive. We're all included in it. Everyone's included in the work of the Lord. But He said we have the responsibility to go out and do it. Because Ezekiel said we've got to be good watchmen. Now he goes on in Ezekiel chapter 3 and he said, hey, we need to be watchers of souls. We need to watch it out for men. But as it rocks on in Ezekiel chapter 33, in verse 7, Ezekiel 33 in verse 7, the Lord says this one more time. He says, hey, Ezekiel, He said, I'm not finished yet. He said, they still an unfinished work. Ain't you glad God gives second chances? Amen. Amen. Ain't you glad He comes along, gives you a second chance, amen, to try to do it right? That's what I'm saying. When we get inside the framework of Christ, He begins to give us the opportunity, show us the way to do it right. So we can come out with a shout landing instead of a pout. That we can give God the glory for everything that's transpiring in our life. But He says in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 7, He said, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. That's a deja vu. Amen? He said, I've set you as a watchman to watch for the house of Israel. He said, therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth. and warn them from me. He said, God says, hey, listen, said, I'll tell you what to say, and all you got to do is say it. He said, tell them it's coming from God. Amen. We could do the same thing. We could say, you know what? I got a message from God. Said He loves you, that He gave His Son for you. He will say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity. That's his sin. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. Amen. He said, if you'll warn that old sinner to get away from his sin and to do right, he said, I'll save that old sinner. You know, we make salvation to be something so hard. And the Bible says it's so easy that a child can do it. Just realize inside the framework of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, we have a blessed hope. And we allow the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, to paint us in the picture. And then we just go out and we compel other people to be in the picture. Don't seem too hard, does it? But he said, nevertheless, verse 9, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? He said, if we get caught up in ourselves and we have no joy, he said, how in the world can we live that way? I ask today, how in the world can we live in a world with no joy, with no peace and no hope? He said, it's a miserable existence. It's not life. God wants us to have life and have it in abundance. Amen. But it's not, hey, it's up to us. It's not up to nobody else. If we're living in a miserable life outside the framework of Christ, praise God, it's nobody's fault but our own. If we get inside the framework of Christ, praise God, He'll give us that joy and that peace and that happiness that passes all understanding. Amen. He said, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Well, there you go. You say, well, I thought God just wanted to kill all the wickedness. I hate old sinners. Hey, you may do it, but God don't. God wants to see every man saved. Every man, one boy and girl, He wants to see them saved. He wants them all painted in the picture. Amen. We ought to want them all painted in the picture. But he goes on, he says, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? God has no pleasure in the death of a soul sinner. But God is begging here and compelling them here. He said, turn ye. Amen. When God begins to beg, hey, we ought to beg old sinners, please don't go the way that you're going, but be saved. Why? Because the fruit of righteousness, praise God, is an old sinner saved by grace. And he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. Hey, we ought to be wise soul winners in the last days that we live. Realizing, hey, praise God, everybody that we know, we ought to be trying to paint them in the picture. Get them in the framework of the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God. Amen. Hey, we don't ever know. Who will reach out and touch. There was a fella called me yesterday. Let me tell you this, and I'm going to quit. There was a fella called me yesterday I graduated with, 1982. Me and him used to run, done some crazy things. Took a Volkswagen, run it down an old gravel road, run it up a bank, dove it, jumped it across a ditch, stuck it up on the other side, ripped it, and high. Amen. Craziness. He was right there with me all the way. Got out of school, graduated. We went our separate ways. He went in the military. He began to drink and to do all kinds of things and to party spent two tours in Iraq. I got the phone call yesterday. I was sitting out in study yesterday evening. about 4 o'clock. And he said, "Is this Jeff Massey?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Preacher Jeff Massey?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Reverend Jeff Massey?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You got the radio broadcasting marshal, Jeff Massey?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "This is Herman." Amen. I said, "Excuse me, who?" He said, "Herman." I said, "Herman." He said, "Don't you recognize my voice?" I said, "Yeah, Herman, how you doing?" Amen. He said, "I'm doing all right." He said, "I just wanted to call and talk to you." I said, "What are you up to?" He said, "I'm doing all right." He said, "I just wanted to find out where your church is." He said, "I'm going out there. So where I work out there in Mars Hill," he said, "there's a couple of boys and a little lady that's looking for a church, and they live in Candler, and I wanted to tell them how to get to your church."
Amen.
I got to talking to him there. He said, November a year ago, he dedicated his life to the Lord. Been going out visiting with the preacher, inviting people into the framework of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah." So I want to tell you, he said, "Been listening to your broadcast every Saturday for a long time." Amen. God is working on his old heart. Amen, old sinners. Well, I tell you, me and him just rejoicing together. Been just rejoicing together. Praise God on what God. I said, "Boy, ain't God good?" He said, "Yeah, he brought us a long ways." Amen. I said, "Yeah, he brought me a long ways, brother." He said, "No." He said, "He brought me even farther." Amen. He knew what God done for him. And now he's trying to paint some pictures. Trying to paint some people into the framework of God. But Charles, he's trying to bring them into that picture. That the Lord's framed for us. Amen. That picture that he's got to present to the Father one day. Of the framework of Christ. And all his little children. In a family portrait. There at the throne of grace. That he'd take out and he'd present it to the Father. And say, "Here, Father. So here they are. Ain't that a good looking bunch?" Amen. All in a framework of Christ. To present to you. Why? Because some old sinner come to repentance. Because he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. That old boy, I'm going to get with him. We're going to go out and eat and talk some. But I'm excited what God's been able to do. Amen. Do a little bit. Sometimes we want to give up on them. Sometimes we want to cast old sinners, throw them away. But Christ don't want to. He wants to get them and bring them into the picture. He wants to crop them in. Amen. Make them part of the original. Praise be to God. For the glory of God. Amen. That's what he wants to do. That's what we're going to be looking at for the next little bit. How do we do that? How do we become part of those that goes out and compels them to come in? How do I do my part to get them into the framework of God? To get them as part of the picture. Amen. Well, I hope that goes home with you. I hope that sticks in your brain. That the Lord Jesus Christ is that framework. He's that picture. And he wants everybody in that picture with him. Can you imagine one day, praise God, when we stroll into the throne, like I preached this morning in Psalms 24, when they stroll in through those gates of glory. Amen. Stroll in that. He said, "Who is this King of glory?" He said, "The Lord of hosts." Amen. He's done been the Lord mighty in battle. But he said, when he goes back in again the last time, praise God, he said, "It's going to be the Lord of hosts." And he said, "I'm going to bring them with me." He said, "He's going to bring us, he's going to present all in that framework of Christ. He's going to present that picture to Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. And I can see my Savior." I know I got a vivid imagination. I'm like a little kid. But I can see myself. I can see Lord Jesus Christ there in the front as he goes like this in a picture. And there's all the children of God. You say, "Well, preacher, you couldn't get us all in there." You don't know how big a picture Christ can paint. Amen. See, the devil's got you confused about how big a picture God can paint. But he can paint us everyone in there. And he done it through the precious blood. He painted us with his blood. Amen. Into that picture. Inside the framework of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless his holy name.